6 and 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The psalm this morning is Psalm 112, and we'll read this together. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are graceful, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. The second lesson this morning is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here in the lesson.
Do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would have to start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said this to the one who had invited him. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you have been repaid, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me for the children's message. Come up, have a seat on the steps. I gotta grab something here. Oh, have a seat on the steps. I'll be right there. Up now. Yeah. All right. I got my gentlemen who are having their first communion today, huh? You excited for that? Yeah, it's a pretty big day, huh? Here comes baby Reagan, too. Yeah, she doesn't really have teeth yet, does she? She's got one. She has a tooth. Very nice. Mom knows all about it. That's why she's chewing everything. Well, I have a question. Maybe my bigger friends can help me here. Hi, Reagan. We'll see how long she stays there, huh? Okay. I have a question. Tell me, what is this?
The Bible.
How do you know that?
Because it says Bible.
That's very true. Do you know what the other word is? I know you're a reader. What is it? Holy Bible, yeah. And what does this book tell us about?
About Jesus.
Mm-hmm. What else? And God, what else? That's kind of a hard question. It tells us a lot of things. What kind of things do you read in the Bible?
Jesus' words.
Oh, Jesus' words. Oh, that's actually great. That helps me. I thought you were going to say stories. Do you ever read stories in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually one of our favorite things to read in the Bible. There's lots and lots of stories in here, but there's also Jesus'
words,
yeah. See, this special book, it's made up of a whole bunch of different parts. Did you know that? Here, leave me that real quick. Thank you. It is a card. I want you to show you something. Look at all these things. You see all these lists right here? These are all different types of books that make up this one big book. And it's got a whole bunch of different little books in it. And it's got different kinds of books. Sometimes there's stories. Sometimes there's Jesus' words. Sometimes there's history. In our lessons today, it's kind of cool because we have four lessons. And just in that, we have Proverbs, which is kind of like advice. We have Psalms, which is a song. We have Hebrews, which is a letter. And then we have Luke, which has Jesus's, hit me up. What'd you just say, Jesus's?
Words.
Words, perfect, yes. So we have all these different types of things. So what I wanted you guys to do, and I'll give this maybe to Reagan's mom because I don't think she knows how to write yet. But I'm gonna be talking today a little bit about Hebrews, which, as I said, was kind of a special kind, and it is a letter. Have you ever gotten a letter?
Yeah.
Well, this is sort of a special letter that somebody wrote to people in a church. And so they're learning how to be God's people as they're learning how to do that. And so I thought what I would do is give this to you. And it says,
door.
Close. What does it say at the top, Ben? Dear. Dear, and then there's a blank. What do you think goes in that blank? What usually goes? What do you think? Dear. Dear you, dear your name. Oh, yeah. It's going to say dear Liam or dear Benjamin or dear Reagan. And then there's a big open space. And then at the very bottom, what does it say? It says,
love God.
Love God. So it's almost like God's writing a letter to you. So I'm going to give this to you. And I want you to spend a little time, maybe during my sermon or maybe during Sunday school or maybe afterwards, and think about what God would want to say to you. If God was going to write you a letter and you a letter and you, my little one, a letter, what would it say?
You.
What would a letter that God writes to you say?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And that's the great part, is that we can learn from that. So you can spend some time maybe writing or drawing in here. Make sure you put your name up here, okay? And in a way, we'll be writing our own letters, right? Think about what God is saying to you specifically. Okay, well, thank you all. You can take those. You can head back to your seats. And I'll see you gentlemen soon. Jesus Christ, you give us your holy scripture that we may learn from it. And we pray on this day that we would see the words you have spoken to people so long ago and how they still speak to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was and who is to come. As I mentioned to the children, today I wanted to look a little bit at our letter to the Hebrews. It was actually the second lesson that we had. And it starts out with this beautiful phrase, let mutual love continue. If you notice, that's also on your bulletin cover. Anybody else notice that? Hopefully you did. Okay, good. Hopefully I wasn't goofing that up because I remember seeing it earlier this week and that's what I planned this sermon around. So I'm hoping it was still true. Yes, let mutual love continue. And I've been thinking about that all week. What does mutual love mean? So as I mentioned, this letter to the Hebrews is in fact a letter. It's really a kind of a list, a litany, and it's jam-packed with do's and don'ts, this one chapter of Hebrews. But that's speaking to a generation several millennia ago, so I wonder, what does it mean today? Today, what does it mean to let mutual love continue? Today, when we have three young people receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion for the first time, what does it mean to let mutual love continue? Today, when we prepare for the workforce to take a day of rest, as we rest from our labors, what does mutual love continuing look like? And when we stand in the shadow of yet another inexplicable act of gun violence in our country, what does it mean to let mutual love continue? Well, today, I, in a sense, want to do a little bit of a Bible study. So if you're somebody who doesn't attend Bible studies and doesn't really care for them, sorry, gonna have one today. I want to take us through Hebrews. So if you have either your yellow paper or have your pew Bible in front of you, I'm going to be going through those lines to see what this list, this litany of things tells us about what it means to let mutual love continue. So let's start at the start. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. This is always a really beautiful part of Scripture when we think about, oh, how gracious would it be to think that those strangers that sit among me are really the angels of God in my very midst. You know, that nice stranger that I saw at the store, or that nice stranger who held the door open for me, surely they must be an angel in my midst. As I was thinking about these young folks today, I also thought about a very special young person in my life. This is my niece, Lily. She's pretty stinking cute, right? Yeah, I know. She's a little angel, especially when she's sleeping and the curly hair and those chubby red cheeks. It's very easy to show hospitality to an angel that looks like this. But it's really hard to show hospitality when people are not being nice. And let me just tell you, Lily's two, so she's not always nice. I asked her mom, my sister-in-law, I said, can you send me a picture of Lily acting really, you know, like cute and adorable, but also when she's kind of being awful? And she said, I got plenty of her looking cute. She's napping right now. Wait until she wakes up and I'll send you one. I'm sure there's a tantrum coming. And she did. She woke up and immediately started complaining and fussing because she was two and didn't want her diaper changed, or who knows what she was fussing about. When we think about entertaining those angels in our midst, it's easy to think of the adorableness over here, those nice strangers that may be angels, but what about those who are not so nice? Could they also be angels in our midst, teaching us lessons from God? You see, it goes against our human nature to show hospitality to people who are not nice. With toddlers, we can kind of give an excuse. You know, we know that as soon as something passes, she's going to look adorable again. But what about those people who we don't want to show hospitality to? It goes against our human nature. But I think it falls right in line with our Christian calling, where we're asked to remember those who are in prison as though you are in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves are being tortured. Many times throughout Scripture, we are asked to stand with those who are imprisoned. Jesus even lifts this up as a way that we may see him directly. When you serve me, you serve me when you visit he who was imprisoned. Now, for myself, as a person with a really strong sense of justice and injustice, I gladly stand and fight for those who are wrongly tortured. But those imprisoned, I think it's common for us to ask and maybe wonder, well, what did they do to deserve that? Why are they imprisoned in the first place? And I don't know if you notice anything about this passage, but it doesn't say to remember those who are wrongly imprisoned. It says, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. We have all committed sins before God and been forgiven. So what would it look like if we remembered those who have committed sins against our society and remember that just like us, before God, their sins have been forgiven? Maybe that's how we let mutual love continue. So this next verse, let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterators and adulterers. So I look at this verse and I ask, is this verse only for married people? In a way, I think, yes. Scripture itself speaks to all people, but not all Scripture speaks to all people. And I think that is something for us to remember as we spend time interpreting this 2,000-year-old text in our 21st century audience. But what I see this line speaking to, is not the condemnation of sex or sexual relations, because I think as a country built on a lot of Puritan theology, we're quick to think about that as holy, unworthy, and to throw everything under the bus. But rather, the bonds of marriage are ones in which two people make a pledge, a commitment, a vow to be faithful to each other, and in that promise, God is present. So when we break those vows, when we seek satisfaction elsewhere, we are not the only ones grieved, nor are our spouses. They are not the only ones hurt. But God is saddened when we are unfaithful to each other, because our God desires nothing more than love. All kinds amongst his people. But of course, there is a difference between the love of people and the love of money, which brings us to our next verse. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is a tenet that is at the heart of stewardship. If we love money, if we love things, if we love stuff and status, if we love our security more than we love God, then we have made our wealth our God. When we operate out of a place of scarcity, then we aren't able to see God's abundance. Our Lord's promise is right there at the end. I will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And when we think that we don't have enough, God will not leave you. When we think that we're at the end of our rope, God will not forsake us. In God, there is enough. So what have we to fear? So we can say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? When I read this, I kept thinking of the 23rd Psalm, that well-known Psalm, the Lord is my
shepherd.
I shall not be in want. When we think about this, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can anyone do to me? Really, what can anyone do to me that God cannot redeem? And the answer is nothing. God has the ability to redeem everyone and anything. And so why not let mutual love continue? As we remember our leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I had a different section for this written yesterday, but I realized I had to change it when I heard about the shooting in Odessa, Texas. It made me realize that while often it's said that politics should not play into your faith, I do firmly believe that your faith should play a part in your politics, in how you view our society around us. This latest shooting made me realize that I need to remember all of those civic leaders in my prayers. And I need to consider the outcome of their life and pray that their leadership would imitate Christ in our world. Because not every one of our civic leaders in our country is a follower of Christ, but that doesn't mean that Christ can't work through them. Because my God is powerful. When I saw that this took place in Odessa, my mind didn't first go to Odessa, Texas. Anybody know of another famous Odessa? Oh, not quite Russia. Ukraine, very close, but I'm Ukrainian, and so I think about that. And I was thinking about that immediately because my great-grandmother, Catherine, my namesake, was born in 1901. She was the first of her family that was born here. Because during that time in Odessa and in Kiev where they were, there were pogroms. There was civil unrest that was coming in, and mainly they were targeting a lot of the Jewish factions. In fact, that's kind of the underlying story of Fiddler on the Roof, if you've ever seen that. But my great-grandmother's family were Catholic. They were Ukrainian Catholic, different from Roman Catholic. But they looked and they said, okay, we see what's happening here. How long is it until they come for us? And so they migrated. That's why there is a Ukrainian Catholic church in Wilton, North Dakota, population about 1,000 people. And as I was thinking about Odessa yesterday, and thinking about the Odessa that my great-grandmother left, I realized that her family, it was full of faithful Christians, Ukrainian Catholics, and they were worshiping the same God that I worship, that you worship today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The God of my great-grandmother Catherine, the God of my future generations, the God who's worshiping in this church and in a church that looks nothing like this, and the God that's going to be worshiped long after this church building no longer exists, is the same Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So what does it mean to do good? To do good means more than to be nice. And that's sometimes a scary thing. And what does it mean to share all that you have? It means more than just giving away what you no longer need. It's hard to think about what it means to continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. But in the meantime, when we strive to help the tortured and the imprisoned, when we fight to make our marital relations pure, when we pray for those who are our leaders, and when we lean fully on God to be our rock and salvation, even in times of fear and uncertainty, there is one piece of scripture that we can share, one piece of scripture that we can carry. This short verse from Hebrews. Whoops. This short verse of scripture from Hebrews that says, let mutual love continue. It's not profound and not even really clear sometimes, but it gives us reason to pause just long enough and ask, where are we seeking to let mutual love continue? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.